All right. We're going to talk about growing up this morning. You all right? You know about growing up? Growing up? Man, y'all quiet. What's going on? Y'all woke up? Man, y'all look like I did during the first service. Let's jump into text. We got some text to get through. Coming from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. Let me read the text here. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, evil and in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined in held together by every joint with which is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. All right, let's pray here. Father, thank you for giving us Christ, who set in place the church, who has called us to build up one another with truth and love in unity. Father, may we continue to grow and mature in the faith. And may we continue to spread the good news of your name throughout the world through the power of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you. And we ask that you just prick our hearts this morning. Encourage our hearts this morning as we dive in your word. We ask this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Am I echoing big time? Is that? Where's my ears or something? Man. earlier this week, the family and I, we decided to make some slime. It was pretty cool. So I was like, I'm going to spearhead the project. I'm going to take it on. So after, you know, watching a couple of YouTube videos, you know, you get certified now, you know, you watch, you know, I'm cleared to go. I felt like I got this in the back of my pocket. I can do this. This ain't a problem. I can make slime. It's just slime, right? So I was like, all right, looked on YouTube, got the ingredients and everything that I needed. Then I put it in a bowl. It was a laundry detergent and what was it, glue. I had the sparkle kind of glue, though. It was the spark glare in it. And so I put it all in a bowl, and I'm just flipping it. You know, like, all right, we finna watch magic happen, right? It's like, man, nothing happening here. The lady on the video said it's supposed to bond together. It's supposed to build up, you know? Like, nothing is happening. It's still liquid. And so the more I kept whipping it, my wife walked in and say, oh, that ain't going to work. You got the wrong ingredients. And I'm looking at her like, I just watched YouTube, and this is going to work. First of all, I want to prove her wrong. This is going to work. And so I'm still whipping it. It ain't working. Nothing's working for me. So now I'm throwing in stuff they didn't even call for. So I'm glad I ain't used up all the salt trying to prove myself. I dumped salt in the batch, and then I put more water in there, I put more glue in there, and then I dumped some more laundry detergent in there. I can't even wash clothes next week. And I'm just like, man, I'm trying to prove it. Like, this gotta build together. This gotta come together. There's no lumping, no clumping, nothing. Just liquid sitting in the bowl. This morning, Paul is telling us we have to bond together. We have to build up one another in this body of Christ. Unlike my liquid that was sitting in the bowl, we have to come together. We have to work together. Before I jump into text, I want to kind of give you some highlights. The big thing, Paul, is you'll see growing up. We are called to grow up in Christ. He would talk about the unity, the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, and maturity that finds itself in showing love and truth and love. We will the genuine of our maturity is shown in truth and love. We'll see this in the text. Before we jump into verse 11, let me just say, chapter 4 is the application part of Ephesians, and so the pericope really starts at about verse 7. But what it's saying is that Christ has triumphed, and he has given gifts to his church, various gifts. Now, he don't go into detail about the gifts here. His focus in this particular text is on the gifts that he has given to the ministers of the word. So he had given ministers of the word, and we'll get ready to talk about some of those ministers here in just a second here. I lost my place. Here we go. Great. All right, let's jump into it real quick. It says this. It says, and he gave. That was when I looked at that first one, verse 11, and he gave. I just stopped right there because I was like, man, when I just really, it's certain stuff. I look at phrases in God's word and I was like, he gave. You should just pause. Like when you walk through the door, just think like, man, God gave. He gave his son to remove my sins. He gave the Holy Spirit to empower the church. He gave you life. He gave you a career. He gave you a family. He gave. God is about giving. Jesus is about giving. His nature is that of giving. He's a giver. He's generous. And Paul talks about his generosity. He gave gifted ministers to his church. Let's look at the first one. Who did he give? It says he gave apostles and prophets. Let's just start there. Those are the ones who heard the word of God and wrote down a revelation from what they heard from God. They were the UPS man of the day. We are bringing the message of God to you first class. We start with the apostles. He says the apostles were the eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. They also established the church and planted the church. We just left out of 1 Timothy where it talked about Paul says, Timothy, if I don't come to you, I'm writing this letter to you so you should know how the household of God should conduct themselves. The apostles were the establishers of the church. It was the prophets, was the mouthpiece of God. Thus says the Lord. How many times we've seen that before, right? They are the mouthpiece of God, just proclaiming God. And they either got it right or they got it wrong. And if you get it wrong, it's over, right? So you was accurate. You had to listen to God. Those prophets was the mouthpiece of God. But then we have the evangelists. So we have the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. The evangelists carried on the ministry of the apostles. They were the people who had beautiful feet. I'm not talking about pedicures, right? I'm saying they brought the good news of the gospel. They proclaimed it. Paul tells Timothy to do what? Do the work of an evangelist. Timothy is a pastor, right? So it goes to say it's not just unbelievers who need to hear the gospel. It's us as believers that need to be reminded daily of the gospel. We need to remember our salvation story. You need to remember, man, where you was. You was scum, wallowing in the dust, the mud, and Jesus saved you, took you out of darkness and brought you into his marvelous light. You need to be reminded of the gospel daily. I love every Thursday morning about 7 a.m., I meet up with Five Guys, not the hamburger place, all right? Five Guys from Portico. Let me be clear, all right? Meet up with Five Guys, right? We at Panera Bread, we come in, we just sharpen one another in God's word. And before we do anything, every Thursday, somebody, we go around and we evangelized each other like we never heard the gospel before. So one person come in, they just speak the truth of God in our life. Like, we just love it. One day, one morning, we had communion with a cinnamon roll, right? We just broke bread. That's what it is, right? We broke bread to taste the sweetness of the Lord, right? We talk gospel and just spoke it in each other's life. You know, it's like, because we want to be gospel fluent and we want to evangelize each other. We want to remind ourselves of the gospel. But then there's the shepherds and teachers, pretty much one in the same. They oversee the church, nurture and care for the church, guard and protect against false teaching, false doctrine, by proclaiming the truth. Truth that instructs the mind and moves the heart. Paul tells Timothy this. He says, preach the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exalt with complete patience and teaching. Jesus gave gifted men to the church to feed his church. Think of God's word as a vitamin, right? It's a vitamin, and he's giving it to his ministers to feed my church. And he feeds us the word of God so we can remain healthy and be built up. Paul is talking about building up, getting to maturity. But he put these ministers, special ministers, in place in verse 11. He put them in place, right? But what were they put in place for? They was put in place to do, and we'll see this in verse 12. But before we go to verse 12, I want you to notice this, because God gave these individuals gifts and they did not use it for themselves. The goal of the gift is to edify the body. Not to bask in your own glory and say, I can do this, I can do that. No, it's like God has given us this gift so you can edify the body, to build up the body. Are you building up the body with the gift that God has given you? Because that's what it's for. It says right here, it says, verse 11, they have been tasked. It don't say that they're, but that's what he's saying. I've given them. He gave these ministers to do what? Verse 12. To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The word equip means prepare. It also can be translated as set right. It's interesting. You're talking about the body. If you got a bone that's broken, you know what the doctor gonna do? Set it right. He's gonna place it right, right? So he's giving us these ministers. They said, we're gonna equip the church. We're gonna set the body right. Go proclaim the good news to you. Speak truth over you. So Jesus equipped men, right? And he tells those men to equip the saints, the hagios, the holy ones, set apart ones. Do you know that you're the saint? So it's not just Pastor Dez or Pastor Dan. It's you, every one of us, the minister and the member, all together are called to build and equip the body. You, the saint, the one that God has snatched out of the world, right? Has changed your affections, your heart, and placed you in the family of God, and now sends you back into the world to proclaim a new message and have a new heart to spread the good news of the gospel. He has given these people to equip the saints. You're the saints. I'm the saints. We're called to build the body of Christ. And he says he's equipped. Equipped for what? For the work of ministry or service. Mark 10, Jesus says this. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. To give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was about serving to death. I'm serving all the way to death. And the church is to reflect Jesus serving hard and by serving. Are we serving one another in our community groups? How are we doing there? Are we serving our community? Are we getting in the community? That's one of the new identities you have as a follower of Christ, that you have been called into the family of God and you've been sent on a mission of God, right? Are you a servant? Do you have that characteristic of Christ? Because we should if we're following him. But ministry hard. It's hard. It's hard. But we've been given the Holy Spirit to empower us and move us forward, right? You don't build a body by being lazy. That don't happen. You build a body by ripping tissue, pulling the muscle. You build a body by, right? You don't build a body by being still. It takes hard work to build the body. You moving. And so the Christian service or the work of ministry is the muscle moving of the church. You have to move the body. Christ didn't call us to be stagnant. He called us to move the body, grow. So Jesus equipped the gift the ministers. Verse 11, we see that. Verse 12, the ministers equipped the saints. Who are the saints? We're the saints, right? And so now you have the members and the ministers, all with various gifts. Like I say, Paul didn't go into detail about this, but we all have been given these gifts to do what? To now build the body. How long does this take place? Like, how long ago, Lord, right? How long do this go? It says in verse 13, you look at it, until all obtain the unity of the faith. Now, Paul possibly have a end time mindset right here, because just for the fact that the word obtain, the verb there is come to meet. So Paul is saying that one day we will all obtain the unity of the faith. When Christ come back, we will all be together, right? When we talk about Jesus kicking it with his homeboys for the last time before he went to the cross, he says what? At the Last Supper, he says, I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine. Right? James said, I'm not drinking no more until I kick it with y'all again. Right? I won't drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Like, Jesus is looking forward to being reunited with you. There's a, like, Jesus, like, I'm looking forward to this day. I'm going to prepare a place. I'm getting stuff ready so we can get back together. Because we're going to throw a big party. And I'm putting my bottles up until you come. Right? Jesus is looking to reunite. But Paul also has a present view in mind as well. Because early in the chapter, he says this, maintain the unity of the Spirit. Be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. So there is a right now, today, maintaining we have to do in unity. Growing together. One body, one spirit, one hope that belongs to one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of all. That's all in chapter 4. That's up. All this about this oneness. Jesus is about oneness. He's about unity. When he talks to his Father in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he says this to his Father. He says, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them. Who is that? The saints. I've given to them that they may be one even as we are one. You don't build the body without unity. It takes oneness. Building the body. One characteristic of building the body is unity. Then Paul highlights the mindset of this, of the body of Christ. He says, there's this knowledge that coexists with this unity. This knowledge is the knowledge of the Son of God. Are we in God's word? Do we have the knowledge of the Son of God? Paul prayed about this in chapter 1. He prayed. He says, pray that God may give the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. I'm praying that you come into full understanding of who you are in Christ and who Christ is. Please come into understanding of your new position. I'm praying. Knowledge. So Christ's death brought forth unity. It brought forth faith. So the unity of faith and knowledge came because of Christ. And Paul continues to go a little bit deeper here as we look at it. He says this. In our unity of faith and our knowledge of the Son of God should eventually lead to maturity. So we have this oneness, we have this unity, and we have this knowledge of who Jesus is. But this should move us to something. It should move us to maturity, to mature manhood and womanhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, keep in mind, Paul is not talking about individual maturity. He's talking about corporate maturity. Are we growing together as a body? We all. So he stuck himself in there. We all obtain. Are we growing together? Are we doing this together? Because you can say, man, I'm banging in my devotion. I mean, I ain't missed a day since January. Well, but your brother, man, he like 6 months behind. You know, what's going on? So it's everybody until we all obtain the unity, the knowledge of the Son of God. Are we discipling one another? Are we in each other's life? It's like you can't be leaving a brother behind or a sister behind. Are we building the body? So the whole body of Christ is growing together to one man. And what I like about this, because if you go back to Ephesians chapter 2, Christ says this, Paul says this, Christ is tearing down this Berlin wall of racial tension. I'm tearing it down, and I'm taking one group and another group, and I'm bringing them together to form one man. And that group of people becoming one, my body, is called to build each other up now rather than bicker, argue, fight. They're called to build each other up now to maturity, growing. And Christ is the standard, he says, to the measure, right? And Christ is the standard. But it takes each one of us to play our part. I mean, we all got to play a part. We all got to contribute to the whole. We can't be a leech in the body of Christ. Just give me. Just give me the information. No, how are you playing a part of this body? You know, it's just not about Pastor Dez. It's just not about the elders. It's just not about the worship team. How are we all playing a part of building the body of Christ? Because you have a significant role in Christ's body, according to the text that I'm looking at this morning. Everybody do. So I can't make you read the scriptures. Pastor Dez can't make you read the scriptures. Right? Your community group leader, he can't make you read the scriptures. You have to want to desire to have that relationship with Christ yourself. You save? Are you a Christian? You a believer? You a follower of Christ? You have to have that desire to say, I want to know about this knowledge of the Son of God. I want to jump in the Word. Now, we can provide resources, trainings, but it comes to a point where you got to say, I have to desire this. Because maturity don't come until you start applying it to your life. I didn't say perfection. I'm saying maturing. You don't mature until you start applying this to your life, right? It takes you a while, right? When you first start driving, how many people did you hit? Hopefully nobody, but it takes you a while to be say, okay, I think I got this driving thing, right? So are you applying it to your life? You can't just be like, yeah, this sign say stop. Yeah, they say stop. You know, I ain't like that, man. No, you got to actually apply this. Stop, right? We got to apply this to our life. Are we doing this? So how are we as believers? Are we helping each other mature in Christ? Are we maturing? Sunday morning. This is main event, right? Hey, any given Sunday is 700 people coming in this door and out of this door between two services. I don't know how many people really leaving out saying, man, I'm finna go apply this in my life. I mean, I can check community groups. If you're not in the community group, I don't know. I don't know where you at, right? I mean, going to church on Sundays don't guarantee maturity. Bible studies don't guarantee maturity. Community groups don't guarantee maturity. What guarantees maturity, once again, is you applying this to your life. You living this out. Now, you need to go to those environments. They are in place for you to go and mature, but I'm saying just sitting in there, right? It ain't gonna make you mature, right? Me standing beside LeBron is not gonna make me an NBA star. Hey, I'm in the picture, hey. You know, no, you ain't a star, man. Sit down, right? No. But the environment, I'm there in the environment. I'm there, ain't I'm a star, I'm on the floor. No, but you ain't been training. Hit some suicides, rub down the floor, playing some games. Then we'll think about it from there, you know? It's like, apply this to your life. Part two, let me keep going here. But notice, as we go through this, what Paul is saying as we move forth here, he begins to take maturity, right? He has maturity, and he puts it in juxtaposition to immaturity. So he says this. So Christ, let me back because I don't want you to miss. So Christ gave ministers to the church. Those ministers equip the saints. Who are the saints? We're the saints. And the members and the ministers, both who are saints, are building the body of Christ, growing in maturity, right? Now, why? Because they in juxtaposition to each other. Here's maturity. And then he says, so you no longer be what? Children. Like, what would Paul say that? Immature. Easily manipulated. Right? He says, no, I want you to be mature. You're growing. I don't want you to be unstable. I want you to be grounded so that you no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. I was walking out of Walmart one day, just finished grocery shopping. I always get evangelized. I'm gonna tell you, I guarantee you, people share the gospel with me all the time. I know I must look like I need the gospel. I know I look like I need Jesus. I always get evangelized to. I never say anything to them, never say I'm a pastor, anything. And I tell Nyla, if she with me now, don't say nothing. Just let it go. Because you know what? I enjoy people sharing the gospel with me. I really do. Now, here's the issue with this. Now, I'm leaving out baskets, kids with me. We like, hey, I'm about to go put this in the car, right? Tie y'all down. I mean, put y'all in the seatbelt. And so what... The people came to me and they started sharing. I was like, oh, that sounds cool. But then the message started to get real strange. Really strange. I don't even have time to go into it, but I knew it wasn't right. But my daughter was sucking it up. And I'm just like, oh, I gotta get the going, right? And so I'm like, thank you, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I go, as soon as I get in the vehicle and get the kids in, I turn around and I start to tell Nyla, I start to just preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel with her. Because why? Because it was false. And I don't want her just taken away by any gust of wind. This false teaching out there. And you know what? And daddy never said nothing. So I thought it was right. You never corrected the person, right? You never said nothing. And I'm just like, I really, bad as I wanted to stay, I said, I'm in a situation where I can't right now. But one thing I can do is correct this false teaching that was just taking place. And she's just sucking it up. And I'm like, no, that's not right. So Paul goes on to reveal something. So one of the things is he says genuine maturity shows forth in our truth and love. Now, I could have went back in there and said, you know what? Don't you never bring this garbage and blah, 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 blah to that person. Now, what did I just do? I just destroyed my testimony. It was full of a lot of truth probably, but zero love, right? And it's like, no. Rather than being immature, be mature. Speak the truth, but there's a way to do it in love. You think about it, the characteristics of false teachers, they have the same characteristics as Satan, cunning, deceitful. And the church should have the characteristics of Christ, truth and love. So notice what Paul is doing. He's saying, be mature, don't be immature. Don't speak, you know, in that immaturity comes false teaching. Don't do false teaching. Push against that with truth and love. It's what Paul's doing here in the text. John Stott says this. He says, truth becomes hard if it is not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. Let me say it again. Truth becomes hard if it's not softened by love. Love becomes soft if it's not strengthened by truth. We need to have the right balance when we're dealing with the gospel. Paul reminds us that we are to reflect Christ in every way. And we find ourselves in verse 16 where Paul sums up. He sums up things. He takes us a little bit deeper. If we are the body, he begins to do a little more surgical work. He cuts open and he begins to look inside and look at the ligaments and the joints and everything. And it seemed like he's just saying, like, I have given this body, I am the source of the body, right? I'm the head. I'm the source of the body. I provide all the nutrients to the body. The ligaments are the ministers I put in place to carry my message from one bone, from one joint to another. So you have the ministers of the ligaments and the bones and the joints as the saints, and everybody is working together. The text says if we are properly doing our part, right? So if we are moving together as a unit, right? We moving. We are functioning body that's growing in the maturity of Christ. So this week I received another text message from my wife. I think she was trying to like rub some stuff in my face, but I ain't gonna bring it to the pulpit right now. Yeah. So I received a text, and it was a picture with the kids with the slime like this. Right. Everything working together, all the parts together, right recipe. I said, so what you do? And she's like, well, I took baking soda, food coloring, glue, and I think it was eye drop solution. And she's like, yeah, and then just whipped it up and bam, there you go. And I was like, huh, it's interesting. So what she had, that was the perfect recipe. Every ingredient that was put in worked in perfect harmony to create this blob, right? But here's the thing, the church, we're not a blob. All right, we're the body of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And every member is the ingredient that that Christ has put in place, with him being the main ingredients, the life giver, right? But he put the ministers in place, the members, the saints, for us to do what? For us to work together, for us to mature and grow in love and truth, right? The church was established on love, and Jesus wants us to carry forth that love into the world. And every crescent, every crack, everything, the church is to fill its body in the world. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace.